The Sacred Changemakers podcast is supported by Coaches Business School, helping the world's most caring coaches build a purpose-driven and profitable business that makes a meaningful impact in our world. Check out their unique frameworks and methods to help you transform and grow your business. Now is the time to build a bridge from what you want in life to include what the world needs. You can do well in business and do good. And together, we can make a meaningful difference. Find out more at coachesbusinessschool.com.
Welcome back to the Sacred Changemakers podcast. I'm your host, Jane Morello. And today we're exploring the transformative power of storytelling with our special guest, Tamika Bickham. Now, Tamika is a passionate storyteller, and she's also an advocate for a better world. She shares her journey from traditional news to founding TB Media, a platform dedicated to authentic and purposeful storytelling for good. Tamika is an award-winning broadcast journalist and a creative director with over 15 years of experience in front of and also behind the camera. She has a track record of hosting and reporting over 3,000 hours of live broadcast TV and producing and directing over 2,500 videos. Tamika's expertise, you could say, is undeniable. Now, as the founder and CEO of TB Media Group, Tamika leads a nonfiction video production studio specializing in crafting long-form documentary-style content for corporate social responsibility leaders. She's known for her talent in distilling complex information into engaging, clear, and concise visual stories that have earned her recognition, including the Abby for Best Feature in Journalism and multiple Hermes Creative Awards. In today's episode, we dive into how storytelling can create connections, how it can inspire action, and even influence policy changes towards a more equal and connected society. Tamika emphasizes the importance of sharing authentic and honest stories that elevate mental health, well-being, and foster community and connection. From the role of storytellers in media and the pitfalls of the 24-hour news cycle to the quest for authentic, truthful content in the digital age, we're going to be discussing the responsibilities of being a changemaker in this storytelling world. This conversation is not just about the power of narratives to move people emotionally, but also to move them into action. For you also, as our listener, to recognize the value of your own voice and the stories that you carry. So join us as we unpack these insights and look at how small businesses and changemakers can harness storytelling to inspire emotion and meaningful change. It's an episode that really challenges us to rethink the stories we consume, create, and share for a better world. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Tamika Bickham. Hey, Tamika, welcome to the Sacred Changemakers podcast.
Hey, Jane, thanks for having me. So excited.
Me too, because we don't know each other very well. So I'm really looking forward to diving into this conversation with you, because you've got a really unique way of kind of bringing and helping and supporting change makers in the world. So really looking forward to talking to you. But before I do, you know, our listeners, they've just heard your professional bio. And I'd love it if we could just go beneath the surface of that a little bit and ask you something about the real life human that lies behind that bio. Who is she?
Well, thanks for asking that. I am a woman who lives in South Florida. I am a homeowner. I am a cat mom. I am an Airbnb super host, which is something.
Bear that in mind.
Let me know if you're ever making your way down to South Florida. And I am a storyteller in every aspect of the word, not just in my professional life, but I think my friends would say in our personal life as well, because I'm always curious, I'm inquisitive, I'm asking deeper questions than probably most people want me to, and I'm a great listener. So I would say that kind of sums up who I am in my day-to-day.
I love that. And you talked there about being a storyteller in all aspects of your life. So tell us about that. How did that passion arise? Like, how did you come to be doing this work in the world?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know that I could pinpoint one moment, and maybe that's just how we know it's purpose, right? I can remember being a young kid and just always being into stories, or writing, or learning and uncovering things. I think that was something that always drew me when I was really young, was investigations and maybe seeing a perspective or a side of things that required digging, right? And uncovering or peeling back the layers. So I think it was just ultimately something I've always been drawn to. I was always much more of a documentary watcher, or shows like a 2020 and Dateline, even as a young kid. So I always knew like that type of visual storytelling drew me in, and I just continued to pursue that throughout college and then into my career.
I love that. And I know that your business, TB Media, is all about like empowering communities by telling stories that really positively impact the world. So I'd love to get a sense of, what is it that you mean when you say storytelling, particularly from your perspective? Because it feels a little bit different. When I think about storytelling, I think about branding and messaging and those kinds of things. But I think you've got a different angle. So please let us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I know it's hard because I feel like storytelling has become this kind of catch-all term in certain ways that a lot of people use. But I really look at it as the way we connect with one another. And like we can strip it down and keep it really simple. I mean, we're all telling stories every day, right? You haven't seen a friend for a long time. What's the first thing that you do? You ask them, hey, what's been going on? Oh, I have to tell you this story, right? But when you think about that interaction, that's what really bonds people together, is through storytelling. And throughout developing essentially a marketing agency where I've worked with a variety of clients, oftentimes they're looking at it more like a sales tool, right? Like, how do I tell a story to, draw in this particular audience and reach this specific goal? But I try to look at it a little bit more holistically, yes, from a goal-driven perspective, but ultimately, how do we connect? How do we display our humanness, our authenticity? And obviously, there are going to be certain stories that lend themselves better, or allow for us to do that in a better way, which is really why we found that working with social impact-focused clients or organizations really made the most sense, because they care about making positive change in our world. But in order to amplify that change and really help them reach those goals, we need to communicate it well and in a way that lands with their audience or with others. And actually, not only in a way that people want to receive the message, but that they also want to take action.
Was there a moment in your career when you realized that, storytelling wasn't just, like you said, for sales, but could actually kind of ignite emotions towards the context of like social justice and community empowerment?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it was pretty early on in my career, especially in my journalism career. So even though there's a lot of feelings on all sides about the media industry, I think most of us get into it not just because we want to be on TV or because we want to be a public figure, but because we understand and value the importance of giving voice to those who maybe sometimes are voiceless or aren't often heard. And just also the power that comes along with telling stories on a platform. So I think even from early days, Montgomery, Alabama, which was my first TV market at the CBS affiliate there, is really when I realized, even more so than being in a larger market like Miami, Fort Lauderdale, but there I was a part of the community and everything was very personal. You were very connected. You knew everybody. Everybody knew you. And there were a few specific stories that I can remember that really just showed the humanity in people. When I had the opportunity to go deeper and showcase, let's say, you know, family who was in the cold because they didn't have heat in like 30 degree weather, and the way that people would turn out and offer a helping hand. I did a story on, at that time in West Alabama, 1 in 3 children lived in poverty. So we profiled a family of 4 with 3 children who were living on, I believe it was about $12,000 a year, living in poverty, just to expose others to the reality of how so many live. And it was just, it was interesting to see the responses to the story, but it was overwhelmingly positive in the sense that people wanted to help, and just the amount of people that wanted to help, right? Like these, this woman's daughters, they, I think they ranged from high school age to middle school. And one of, in addition to, hey, food, clothing, things like that, the people offered to the family after we profiled them and shared their story. I remember her high school senior, her daughter, was actually awarded a college scholarship to Auburn University in Montgomery. So that was where I realized very early on that our stories have power. We have the power to do good or do bad with them, to influence others, but also create change. And sometimes it's helping one person, but imagine if we all did that.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to you talk there, you know, I'm really getting the sense of, you know, the power, and I'll say the magic of storytelling. Because for me, and I do want to go here now to find out, like, what makes a story compelling and able to move people into action in the way you just described? Because, and I'll tell you why this is so interesting to me. It was about 10 days ago, I was introduced to Jacob Trollbeck. And he's from Sweden, and he's the guy responsible for the United Nations global goals, the Sustainable Development Goals. And they've recently created the Inner Development Goals because they've realized that the way that, you know, most of us are communicating the challenges we're facing as humans today, the big picture challenges like climate change and, you know, oppression and inequality and, you know, some of the politics that's not doing so well and the wars and all these things, we're doing it in a way that is not landing. Like, it's easy for people to be in denial and just get on with their lives, right? It's easy to just go, oh yeah, that's, I need to worry about that. That's what governments are worrying about. And so there seems to me that you've got this way of communicating that. And I'll speak from a personal perspective. When somebody tells me a story, I feel safe in a way that I don't if I'm just watching a documentary on climate change and they're telling us all the things we're doing wrong all the time, right? So what is it, Tamika, about storytelling that really ignites like action and movement? What are the key pieces that help that to happen?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You brought up so many amazing points there, but you did. It's so good. But I think a big thing that jumps out to me, and actually what you said will help me, I think, talk through it a little bit better in terms of, I think it's about being relatable, right? Telling a story in a way that allows you to put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Right.
So when you said, hey, when I hear a story, I feel safe, or it's different when I'm watching a documentary and they're just telling us all the things that we're doing wrong when it comes to climate change. But what if that documentary explained what your life in 30, 40, 50 years would look like, or the life of your child would look like 50, 60 years from now, or your grandchildren, and allowed you to put yourself in those shoes to actually visualize, not just say, hey, we know we need to recycle more, or we know we need to turn off the light, whatever the things are, or all of these things are leading into the whatever insert large number here, right? That makes us feel disconnected. But instead, personalizing that story so that we could put ourselves in those shoes and understand, this is how this impacts me or my kids or my grandkids or my neighbor or my family who's living over there. And then I think we start to feel much more emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not that we're all just self-serving here. We're like, hey, I want to know how this impacts me to some degree. Yes. But if we can't see the human story, right? And we can't break down the big picture and make that relatable to individuals, I think that's where we start to lose people.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because, you know, storytelling is not a new thing. You know, it's how before we had all the printed media and, you know, like the internet and everything that we've got today, it was the way that we shared wisdom. It was the way that we shared kind of, you know, in a tribal sense, indigenous, it's still very alive, your storytelling. And I know that from like last year, you probably don't know, but I spent a number of weeks in Ecuador with indigenous communities. And to see the strength of the relationships within that community, not just between the humans, but between the humans and their sense of place, and all of life that was around them, it was just so different to the way we lead our lives in, felt like very detached ways, right? And it was so interesting to me. And I think this is why I'm going there, is when I came back from the jungle, coming back, Tamika, into modern life was really hard, much harder than I thought it would be, because I came into concrete, right? I can't describe it any other way. That's what it felt like. Overwhelming concrete with everybody isolated in their different houses. And we wonder why we have a loneliness epidemic, right? But there's something about story, like you're describing here, that's not just communication from one person to the other, but it forges a deep, I'm going to say the word resonance, a deep resonance, a connection. Because those people to me felt like family. I was only there a couple of weeks, but they felt like family just because of the level of connection and the storytelling and all. They even do dreaming ceremonies where you sit down and talk about your dreams. And there's all these stories that are alive on a daily basis. And so I feel like you're tapping into something that's not new, but it's almost like something primally that we can remember. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's not something new. And it's so interesting that you say this now. And I think in the previous question about how we just, whether it's war and politics, all these different things that are coming at us every day in terms of news, and how it, sometimes it just doesn't seem to land. We're detached.
Right, right.
And I think that's because we need to go so many layers deeper. But that also requires work. Right. Well, no matter what side of it you're on, whether you're on that side of the creator, the journalist, right? Like, we could talk in terms of media and journalism and know that, like, the reason I got into it because I wanted to go 10 layers deeper, but budgets, 24-hour news cycle and things like that don't allow for that. Right. So I said, hey, I've got to remove myself so I can do the type of storytelling that I know can empower change. And I think it also requires work on the side of the receiver of the message, right? Because in order to receive that type of story, you have to also be open to learning, open to change, open to different perspectives. And you just have to have the desire to listen and a natural curiosity to say, hey, maybe there's another way to look at this, or maybe there's something about this that I don't know. that I should listen to. And in a busy and distracted world, in a world of that we've all seen with strong opinions and I think a lack of wanting to unite and connect for whatever reason, people don't always want to put in the work to learn or to see another side.
So underneath what you're telling, well, it's not quite underneath as you ended that sentence there, but you've obviously faced some significant challenges in this space, using media as a channel to drive social change. Like how have you overcome them?
Meaning the challenges that I faced when I was in media or...
Yeah, and I think because you were talking there about both the challenges of being in the 24 news cycle and all of that, but also the challenges that we face as just humans receiving that level of media. It feels like there's something on both sides from what you said there. So, I mean, you take this where you feel is the most juicy for you, but yeah. It feels like, and I could say when I say this, I feel like we're facing a lot of challenges right now on multiple different levels. And it's not to make us wrong. It's just to open our eyes a little wider to the reality of the world we live within. I think that's my intention with the question.
Right. No, absolutely. So many good points here and so many challenges in a way. It's like, it feels heavy, right? Like it feels heavy, some of the things that we're facing in this world. And that's why I love this topic as far as storytelling for a better world. With us talking about this, that's why I was like, oh, this is different, but this is juicy because we could get like big picture here. But in terms of overcoming them, I mean, I would say I don't know that there is a way to change the direction that the media and journalism industry is going in terms of from the perspective of the storytellers who are there. I think there are some who have the right intention, but it's also a little bit of the nature of the beast, which is why I think it's important that some of us create these different lanes, right? Where we can create the type of content or shape the types of stories that we know need to be shared and told to affect some positive change. So I felt like that is what really prompted the decision to leave the industry, even though it continues, it's an ever evolving thing and continues to take some time to figure out exactly what that might look like. But in terms of, I don't know how we deal with the challenges on the other side, you know, is it that we lack empathy and or that we're just receiving constant media messages that people feel detached or that everything or everyone is accessible on a device? Mm-hmm. So that where we could see images of war, we can see, you know, something that feels far away or it's easy to turn it off or... I don't know what the answer there is outside of right now saying this has got to be some internal work, right? This has got to come from within and saying, hey, this is my opinion on this thing, but I know we need love, healing, unity. What is my responsibility in that?
And I love where you've gone with this because I'll be really honest for a moment and say that when I think of big media, I think of it as a, like you called it a beast, right? I think of it as a system that's in place almost for another time, that's being driven by, you know, attention, really. How can we grab attention as quickly as we can? How can we get the most views on anything? And really that's in, and it's profit based in a way, what's underneath that. And it's almost like, how can we do that at any cost? So it feels like an external motivator. It's like, let's grab the attention, let's get as many eyes on this as we can, and therefore we'll make more money through the profit line through this. So it feels a little bit self-serving, right, when I think of it like that. And I'm just going to own this as my opinion. I'm not saying that's the way it is, it's just my opinion. But then when I'm listening to you and you're saying, you know, for the other side of the coin, for people receiving the message, there's some work to do there about being open to different perspectives and different things, which culturally is not really where we are right now. But what I also hear is, from your perspective with your business, the TB Media, it feels like there's an internal motivation. There's a different drive to your system of media than what we naturally see in the bigger players, let's say. So can you describe that a little bit for us? Because I feel like that feels true as I speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we certainly are working with, you know, clients and partners who are hiring our team for their own interest and their own needs around storytelling. So I definitely want to say that ultimately. And as a business, right, we're still looking at things like profit, just like media is. But I think what is a little bit different is that we definitely evaluate whether those values and those stories are aligned with things that we believe in and that we can support, because I think that's important, right? Like, it's not only the story being told, but the storytellers behind it as well. And because it's so important, this is a passion, right? So like the heart and soul behind it, I think you can always tell if it's not there, if it's not authentic. And if I don't believe in something, I certainly can't help you advance this cause. So I think the approach is just being personally invested and supportive of the mission and what you're trying to achieve. And then approaching that from the most authentic, organic way that is not promotional, drives a goal, because ultimately we are trying to communicate a certain message. But working with partners who understand the value of them not being at the center of it, exploring and letting the story reveal itself to us instead of us determining what that story is.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as you're describing it that way. And it sounds like you have, you know, like when I was talking about the big media, you know, a lot of them rise or fall on viewership numbers and stuff. So like for you, do you have a wider bank of metrics or goals that show that something has been successful? Now, I'm not negating the viewership, let me be clear, because of course that is important, but it could just be one of a number of measurements instead of the soul measurement.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would say that definitely varies based on the client and the project. In some cases, the stories that we are communicating are purely for internal audiences, from board members to executive leadership to staff. And because there might be a lack of awareness around certain corporate social responsibility initiatives that the company is working on, and they want their workforce to be a part of that. So sometimes it's measuring those type of engagement levels. In other cases, there have been startups who are focused on social change who are going after funding, right? And they need to communicate that why and that mission. So we're really looking at, hey, what are those tools that you need to communicate that? And how has that supported them in helping them raise those funds? And then in terms of nonprofits, it could kind of be similar in terms of fundraising and communicating the message, but it could also simply be visibility, right? How many times do we hear with the nonprofit organizations like, hey, people just don't know what we do. You know, they don't know the incredible good that we're doing. So it's also measuring that visibility, that brand awareness and engagement. So I would say it varies, certainly based on the client's goals.
So if you would allow me to for a minute, I just want to ask a question. And that is that, you know, sometimes I think that media, big players in media, are attracted to the negative stories because it feels like that's what I'm being bombarded with all the time. Like, negative stories sell. Whereas here you are talking about social impact stories, which are kind of stories for good, right? And they don't seem to get the same level of coverage, right, as the negative drama filled stuff does. So what I'm interested in, playing devil's advocate a little bit here, Tamika, is do these stories engage people in the same way? I mean, do they work?
You know, it's so funny that you bring this up. I mean, listen, my answer is going to be absolutely yes.
Of course.
But it's so funny. I remember being at Channel 10, which is the ABC affiliate WPLG in Miami, Fort Lauderdale market. And I said to my boss, because I think I had a positive story, like a good community story pitch or something like that. And I said, I had this conversation. I said, how come we can't do more positive stories? Mm. Right. And this is not like, I'm not unique in that sense. This is a conversation happening in newsrooms or big media companies around the country. Like, there are those of us championing for this. And the response that I got back was that the ratings tell us that that's not what people want. We've tried it. So, you know, and it was a valid rebuttal to what I had to say, because it's like, hey, if this is what people wanted, wouldn't that be reflected in the ratings? So it's an interesting question, but I think when at least the types of stories that we're working on with the clients that we're working with, we know who the audience is, and it's certainly not that we are going after such a wide audience as you are with a big media conglomerate, right? So I think having more of a targeted space, and oftentimes even with a captive audience, it might be at a conference or a governmental affairs meeting, right? Where we need to communicate this. That is an audience that we know is primed to receive this message. So I think that helps us in that sense. If we were competing with the big media players, yeah, it might be a challenge. And I think that that is sad.
Mm. You see, and I'm just getting all like, I can feel myself going, oh, that just reminds me of the quote by Henry Ford when he said if he'd gone to his customers and asked them what they'd wanted, they'd said they wanted a faster horse, because that nobody could conceive of a car at that point, right? And then the other thing that I go to with that answer is that, yeah, in the short term, you know, those numbers do show the assumption of what people want. But over the long term, when we've had decades and decades of negative news, what's the long-term impact on our society and our culture by doing that? So it's almost like in the short term, it makes sense. And it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But underneath that, there's a longer game that I don't think we're always aware of, how we're shaping culture and society through these assumptions that the big players, and it's not just in media, it's in every industry, I believe, where we've got systems that are assuming this is what we want, when actually now, you know, well, for me, I'm now in my late 50s, and it's like, I've got a sense now of a longer timeline and how this could be impacting our world in ways we're not even acknowledging.
Yeah. No, there's so many good points there. It's like I've become even more recently just painfully aware of that, specifically with social media.
Yeah.
And realize it's like we don't know what we don't know.
No.
And we don't want it to be too late before we figure out what we don't know here. And I don't know what the answers are there either, but I do know that we need to start paying attention.
Yeah, we totally do. So how is your work part of the solution and not part of the problem? Because I really get that sense strongly with you that it's really important that you're on kind of the other side of the fence.
Yeah, well, I would say first and foremost, it's really important for me, not only personally, for my own mental health and well-being, right? So I could imagine for everyone, it's the same. although credit to all of the journalists who day in and day out, we've been on crime scenes, we've seen horrific things. And you don't realize, unless you are really in tune with yourself, the impact that that has. And it's something that, you know, I know I need to answer your question, but I just wanted to say, because it takes me back when I think to that time and why I knew I needed to leave. And even talking with some of my still really good friends, and just, you know, at the end of a day or a long week, and just feeling like, we would say, we don't know how we can keep doing this, like the trauma, you know, because it's like, truly, in many ways, it's not much different from a first responder. And and just being on the front lines of so many horrific things, it's, I knew I needed to remove myself from that for my own mental well-being. But then I also had to say, take a step back and say, hey, what makes me feel good? Right? And it's connectedness, it's learning, it's inspiring positivity, because there, it wasn't all bad. When I thought back to my days in journalism and the days that just made me feel like this is so rewarding, it were the days that maybe even just one person called up because they saw a story and they wanted to donate, or they wanted to give, or they wanted to help out, or just come by and say hello or say thank you for sharing this information. I knew the way that people would come out and support time and time again, when there were things that needed their help, meant that there was more of this available. So we just need to create a space for people to engage with more positivity. So that was really, like, there's a yearning for it, right? We could say, hey, the ratings tell us that people don't want good news. But we do know that when we share, hey, there was a robbery here. I'm thinking about a specific, there was a great nonprofit named Gang Alternative, which was literally set up in Little Haiti here in Miami.
Wow.
To keep kids out of gangs. And what happened? A neighborhood gang stole their basketball hoops. Right? So what happened? People call up and they donate basketball hoops, and it just felt so good, right? And it sounds like a small thing, but understanding that we are all pieces of the puzzle that make our communities better, that make our futures better, makes our world better, that these are important. These are all important pieces. So ultimately, that is what I want to do. I want to feel proud about the work that we create, but I know I'm just a small business. Our team is just a small business. And I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to work with companies that have a greater reach, deeper pockets, right? And ultimately, they are committed to doing good. So I look at this from the perspective of, hey, how can we amplify that? How can we take that to the next level? So that when people see these stories, they're not only connected to the mission, supportive of the mission, but they also want to get involved and take action themselves. And we know that specifically through video, and don't quote me on the science here, but when you actually see something positive happen, it activates like these mirror neurons in your brain that tells you to do the same type of good. So it's powerful.
Yeah, it is. And as you were talking there, I was just getting this strong sense that, you know, for you, it's not just about storytelling for a better world, which is our title today, but this idea of community and connection feels so important. And to be quite honest, that's what's missing in a lot of our lives. It's almost like we've lost our soul somewhere along the way. And just, I mean, that story you just described reminds those people that they are part of a community, that people do care, you know? And that in itself goes a long way, I think, in today's world, because it's so easy to isolate, you know, stay in your bedroom playing games, you know, whatever it is that you do. But and just do social media and get further and further away from real life, physical, compassionate, kind, loving connection. And so there's this deeper quality to what you're talking about here, which feels so very important to our world today, but also to the future that could create a better world for us. So when you think about it, I know you've told us your work is in service of connection, but I'd love to hear you say in your own words, like, what is the ultimate goal of your work? What's it in service of, Tamika?
It's a big question. Yeah. You know, I think the ultimate reward, and there's so many, but if I could look really big picture here and say the ultimate reward is creating work and stories that ultimately enact some sort of policy change that leads to, and I don't have a specific example. I mean, there's a few projects that are in the works that I could see how these will be things that decrease the wealth gap, that, you know, there's so many that create safer schools that are not subject to violence or someone who decided to pick up a weapon. And, you know, so if we can create work that inspires that type of change that people are actually seeing and feeling, I think that is the ultimate reward.
I love that. Such a noble cause. Now, some of our audience here are like running small change maker businesses. They might be coaches, consultants, working with leaders in large organizations, you know, and they might be listening to this conversation and thinking, well, you know, I'm not a startup. I'm not going for funding. I don't have a ton of money in the bank. Could you share anything that could help them to tell better stories that could ignite emotion and move people into action around the good work that they're doing? Any advice?
Absolutely. I think it is so important at all levels to tell your story. So what does that mean? I always like to start with authenticity. And it sounds so strange. And I feel like that's also one of those overused kind of buzzwords at this point. But I like to bring up authenticity because actually, at the end of 2023, Merriam-Webster said that authenticity was their number one most searched word in 2023, which I thought was fascinating, especially during a year where we saw AI blow up. And it just feels like the authenticity of things are truly in question right now, yeah, because of the changing landscape or digital landscape that we live in. So I always say, like, anchor any stories you tell in just being authentically you. Don't worry about video or things being perfectly polished and all of the things, because I think ultimately people forgive quality of video or even writing, let's say, if they're connected to the story. Mm-hmm. And I think you build connection through authenticity. And also, I will just say that there's a couple different ways that you can tell stories, because I know, especially if you're a consultant, small business owner, et cetera, a lot of pushback I often hear is that people don't want to hear about me, right? And ultimately, that's true to a degree, but also I like you to think about a couple of different types of stories. As far as, there's your founder story, why you do what you do. There's the story of your business, which I think over time, especially if you have a team, starts to evolve and take a life of its own as far as what your business does and who you serve and why you do it. But then I also think there's the stories of those that you serve. And as a change maker, you have those. You have an abundance of those types of stories, and you can showcase the impact, the mission, the purpose of what you do through the eyes of those that you work with. So I would say that might be a more comfortable place to start if it's something that feels like a challenge. And just maybe working through and asking a few questions through someone else's eyes. And that can help you kind of draw out the story.
I love that. And I love that you're speaking to the fact as well that in some ways with the advent of AI, we're all and false news and all the ways that AI is impacting media today in ways that I think the ordinary person is not really aware of. Like we don't know what we can trust now, even in video. Like now they've got the deep, I can't remember what it's called, the deep whatever it is, technology. That can make people look like they're saying anything, and you can't really tell the difference. I think we are in this space now where we're asking the question of what does it actually mean to be human? And so, in the storytelling that you're describing, the humanness is really important, I think. And that comes from the authenticity and kind of going beneath the surface and not just putting on your professional facade and speaking some lines. But actually, speaking from a deeper place within is what I'm hearing you speak to. And that feels really important, especially today.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, you are just so fantastic with that as well. It's just like the warmth and authenticity and radiance that comes from you. I've never experienced it. I love it.
Thank you. But I'd love to get a sense of, given everything that we've talked about. When you look at the future of things like video and media and the evolvement of the evolving nature of that in the next decade, especially as tools for social change and, community engagement, where do you see us headed? Is this something that's going to become more on the agenda, do you believe, or is it something that is that's just a hope that you have? I mean, I don't know what your view is on that, but I'd love to hear
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a hope. But
it. Yeah, me
you know,
too. I'll stand with you on that.
but you know what's interesting is that I know we've touched on several times just like the distractedness and the disconnectedness of the current world we live in. And I'm thinking about, hey, and you've asked me, you've kind of pushed me on the question as far as how relevant, right, in a way is your work in that landscape. And I think about the work that we create, which is, depending on who you ask, longer form in nature. I define longer form, at least in my space of typically shorter form content, as something longer than 3 minutes. We just finished a piece that was about 6 minutes. And in this world, you know, if I tell probably most other marketers that we just finished a 6 minute piece, they'd be like, well, what are you going to use that for? And my challenge is to look at it from a perspective of like, how can I make this story so good and so engaging that someone wants to stick around for these full 6 minutes, which I do think is a big challenge in today's world. That is my hope that we, and I feel like we are in some ways going in that direction, but my hope is that we can slow down, learn to appreciate depth and understanding and learning. And I typically prefer to create content that is more in that direction because that is what I enjoy, but it's also where I think we can start to get to the real work and start to get to the meat of it. So I don't know if we will evolve to that place or media and news and things will get shorter and more to the point and, you know, more messages coming from more directions. There's a tipping point. There's got to be one. And I hope we start to go back in the other direction.
Yeah. Now, I have a very personal question because I've worked with some media clients over the years, and they always talk at the beginning of whether it's a video or a piece or whatever, or a title for a written prose or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, but you've got to have a hook, right? You got to start with something that catches attention and then bring them into the story. Is that still true in the way that you do your work?
To some degree. I don't know that I would call it a hook.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call it that, but you certainly mentioned from the beginning. I think that is still important ultimately, because listen, you turn something on that you plan to invest time into, no matter how much time it is, 5 minutes or 5 hours, you've got to see something in the beginning that intrigues you to stick around. So I'm a big fan of strong opens, strong closes, strength preferably throughout. But yeah, I don't know that I would call it a hook. And I think they could all be, all content can be structured in a different way. Like what intrigues people in one piece might be different in another. So just figuring out who that audience is and what's going to capture their attention in the most appropriate way for the story, I think is what should be evaluated.
So what have you learned throughout your career? Because you've done this transition from big media into your own consulting company, which kind of means you've seen two sides of the coin in a way. I'd love to hear like some wisdom, some insights that you've gleaned along your path.
Absolutely. And I've also actually worked in nonprofit arts as well on the marketing communications side.
So this brings all your threads together then, what you're doing now. I love that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So many things that I've learned. Oh, and I'm still learning every day, still trying to figure so much out. I would say probably one of the biggest learnings, big picture, is just trust your gut. You know, I think a lot of times we can do the thing that others think we should do or think that we're good at, so why wouldn't we do it? Or try to fulfill someone else's vision for us, mm-hmm. instead of just staying true to ultimately what you are really called to do and what you're passionate about. I think that's a hard lesson. Like, it sounds simple, but it's a hard lesson to learn when we have so many distractions, when maybe there's things like bills, money, responsibilities, we all have them calling you in this direction, or parents, family, loved ones calling you in this direction, or employers calling you in this direction, to really like quiet everything and say, what do I want? And I think that's a challenge. And it's always, and it's even something from going from being in news where I knew, right? Like, because your body starts telling you, I knew my body started telling me that this is no longer in alignment. But I think then kind of getting to this side of being in business ownership, you can certainly go in a lot of wrong directions and try a lot of things that don't work until you figure out what do, and that's okay. But I think throughout that process, instead of getting stuck in a certain place that maybe you built a business that doesn't feel in alignment, or working with clients that don't feel in alignment, just try to like always stay attuned to that, and use your body as that guiding light, so to speak. So I think that's always an ongoing process for me, but I try to check in with that pretty regularly.
And you're speaking to something that's really important, and it's a conversation that's very alive in our community here, which is this idea of having a soul's calling and kind of the work that I came here in this lifetime to do. And one of the challenges with that is that, you know, individuals think that they're going to receive a calling and then it's just going to be like a straight line to success. But actually, the reality is very different. It's almost like we take, you know, two steps forward, sometimes three steps back, but we're continuously like aligning and learning as we go. And I think that's one of the things that you're describing here, which is also incredibly powerful in itself, because it speaks to the fact that it's not just the calling that matters, the destination. It's actually the journey that the calling takes you on, and everything that you learn as a result of following that kind of call that makes your life, and I know it's true for me and it seems very true for you, which is that that's what makes life worth living in a way, is the falling down and getting back up, is the tweaking and learning and making something way more powerful. I don't know how you can be successful in life or business without that, really.
Absolutely not. You listen. I won't try to say it better. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, you listen and you follow. And it's interesting because I work with a lot of leaders, and I've learned over the decades now that I've been in leadership development that leading's not really about puffing your chest up, being confident and standing your ground. It's actually about listening and following more than it is what we traditionally think leadership is about. Because it's about that bridge to the people that you're here to serve, which is exactly what you've been talking about, Tamika, today.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. So there's one thing I do try and ask all of our guests, and that is just simply like, what is your vision for a better world? Like, what is it that you hope for or long for in our future?
Such a good question. I long for equality for all. I long for a connected world with equal opportunity. I long for a joyful, fun world where people are just a little less angry and a little more joyful, intentional, loving, and connected.
Oh my gosh. Hurrah to that. Now, Tamika, I'm just noticing the time. So I'm going to bring our conversation to a close. And I have really enjoyed it. I could talk to you all day. This is just such a great, vibrant conversation. But, you know, if there's something that you wanted to share with our audience at the outset, maybe we haven't had time to get there, or maybe it's just some words of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners with, what might it be?
I know we talked a lot about storytelling, but I would just say in terms of that, a lot of us can shy away from sharing our own stories, or aren't comfortable using our voice. And I think something I've learned throughout the years and really leaned into, and I hope everyone feels empowered to do, is to use their voice, share their story, and understand that your voice and your story is as important, powerful, and impactful as anyone else's. And that's important to remember and lean into that. Your voice and your story matters.
Oh, beautifully said. Tamika, thank you so much for stopping by the podcast. I have really enjoyed our conversation today. And I also get the sense that our listeners will have kind of gained quite a lot of insights from you and maybe feel inspired and move themselves to move into deeper action in their change making. So thank you.
Thank you so much. What a blast. You're incredible.
Okay, guys, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Now, before we go, I want to remind you that all the resources and links for our guests are in the show notes at sacredchangemakers.com. And a big thank you to the members of the Sacred Changemakers Inner Circle, who are our podcast sponsors, and also our extended community, who are helping us make a global impact aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, all visible on our website. More soul in your life and business. If you have a sense that maybe you too have a calling, maybe you're here to make a bigger impact or simply connect with others on your change-making journey. If our episode resonated with you today, I hope you'll consider joining us. Again, you can find out more at sacredchangemakers.com. But for now, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your intention and efforts to make our world a better place. Until next time, lots of love.